Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about the Pisonia plant and an island in the Pacific. And a Pisonia is named after the botanist named Pierce. So that's a good thing. But if you don't say what it's named afterwards, you can often look at a plant that someone treasures and you say, look, is that the Pisonia plant? Or if in some cases people have very small tattoos put, or women put, have small tattoos put on them, that is so that they can have the experience of having a tattoo but not the stigma of having a tattoo on themselves. It's sort of you've got to have the complete gamut to pull off tattoos, that is relations with bikies and you know, that alternative big social network. If you don't, if you're sort of an academic type of person, you can often have a small tattoo, and in general it's not necessarily good to have a target or anything complicated. It's just a small little flower, and when you see the flower you say, oh, that's a Pisonia flower, I recognize it everywhere. And then they say, oh, thank you very much. And of course, in general, I think when you're younger, people tend to have more of a conversation with you. When you're old and ugly like myself, they tend to say, oh, right, well, that's, oh, good day, I'm sort of very busy, sort of, and off they go. And just to give you a sampler for this, when I was younger, I would see a girl and say, oh, look, you know what, I've decided, or what is it? You wouldn't say it directly. You'd say to another girl, you say, look, I'm finding that girl's got a really emetic personality. Emetic? Oh, right. Oh, that sounds great. They'd go off and whisper. Oh, he says, you've got a really emetic personality. Oh, and then emetic, and then people look up. And magnetic means drawn. Emetic means it makes you vomit. Now, this is a similar type of thing. And they go, oh, you horrible, horrible person. Sort of this sort of complete, if you got the classic game theory on how to speak to women, it's there's the classic path of, you know, oh, I've got the biggest Chevrolet car, and, you know, I play rugby, and I'm rich, and I eat meat, I smoke, and I drink, I suppose, whatever various things that you tend to say. Or you can devise this completely stupid, pathetic attempts, and I think they're assessed them. But similarly, so the Pisonia plant is known as the bird-eating plant, and you've got the Venus flytrap. Well, how does the Pisonia plant go? And that's as much as it, sort of as revolting as it gets. Pisonia named after Pierce, but also bird-eating in that it actually does capture birds and lets them rot and die. And the dead bird fertilizes the plant. In general, the plant survives on the dung of birds. As a consequence of the plants grow up in sufficient density that they kill the birds. And the way they kill them is that they have seeds with a very sticky outer surface, and that will stick to a seabird, and in ideal conditions, when there's only one or two plants on an island, it'll mean that the one or two plants will allow the bird to survive and fly. A bit sad, and it's obviously landed on an island, so it's the type of bird that lands on an island. It means that it'll fly to another island, and this will transport seed. So you've got wind-blown seed, you have animal-driven seed, seeds in the feces of animals. you've got waterborne seeds like coconuts and stuff like that. And this is just, you know, getting the full evolution, Darwin's experimenting most ways to go. You've got the sort of farmer's friends and stuff like that. And so these particularly revolting plants have these seeds. You walk a long distance and you're stuck with this revolting, gelatinous mess on you, which of course doesn't help the birds either. And so it's a note to them. You only find this out when you are scanning the globe, looking at various things, and you're looking around Tonga and Rarotonga and, you know, Tahiti and stuff like that. And there's one island there, slap bang on your globe, called Vostok. It's probably too small to be recorded. However, it's a nice space of ocean, and sort of people drawing globes sort of like to put things, don't like have big black blank areas. They tend to put in these very tiny outcrops, which wouldn't be sort of a similar island in a bay, or a similar island off the coast of a large country wouldn't be named, but if it's far enough out into the ocean, they feel sort of value for money, we may as well put something in there. And so I was looking at the globe, as you do. We have a sort of mass-produced globe. Nowadays, the globes used to be a sign of huge wealth, but now it's a sign that you've been to Kmart and had nothing else to buy at the time. So you've bought a globe. Looked at it. It's something to consider. I must admit, I really liked looking at the globes in the big libraries, the big, you know, they're on big bearings, and they went round, and you could look at them, and I'm sure, I don't know how they handle all the grubby hands on them all the time. So this one had the island of Vostok in the Pacific, and fortunately, I will have to know what the island of Vostok is, because Vostok, you'd think, oh, stuff like that. So here's the Wikipedia article on it, and it is an island, and it's an island which has Pisonia plants on it. Very famously, that's the main thing that island has. It's got no big trees, nothing, no features on it. It's an island where you have to say something about it. Well, it's eaten a lot of birds. It's a bird-eating island. And it's sort of rather a sad thing to look at. But let's read it to you. Vostok Island, also known as Deva Island, is an uninhabited coral island in the central Pacific Ocean, part of a line of islands belonging to Kiribati. Other names for the islands are Ant Island, Vostok Island, Leavitt's Island, Reaper Island, Vostok Island, and Vostok Island. So you can imagine the Vostok and Vostok is people who are not able to deal with Vostok. The island was first sighted in 1820 by the Russian explorer Fabian Gottlieb von Billinghausen. Now, don't ask me, but you know, I know if he was called Vladimir Putin or something like that, that sounds a little bit von Billinghausen, sounds a little bit German, but I don't worry. Who named it for his ship, the Vostok. The name means east in Russian. So it means Vladivostok. So geography and fauna. Vostok is located at 10 degrees south, 152 degrees west. So it's a distance out from Australia. Yeah, it's pretty amazing the number of islands in Vostok is sort of like directly below the equator. I'm just trying to think of the equator. So Hawaii is probably 1,000 kilometers. North of the equator. It says as far out as Hawaii, but south the equator, directly underneath Hawaii, and south of the equator by 800 kilometres, so it'd be nice and warm. You've got the Cook Islands, you've got the French Polynesia, Orcook Islands, more American islands. What amazes me is that America has done exactly what the Chinese are doing in the East China Sea. They're saying any sort of outcrop of land on the sea, whether it's inhabited or not, they're claiming it as American and then militarizing it, like Midway is a militarized base. It's, you know, no, I don't know. Okay. So, the East China Sea is, like, I think the Chinese are pretty unsophisticated, but it's also, you know, like, it's a military move. It's stupid. Okay, it's a land that covers 24 hectares, or 59 acres. So, I'm just trying to think how many hectares is sort of a standard farm in Australia. So 100 hectares is like a smallish farm in Australia. So a hectare is, so if it's a kilometre by kilometre, it's got 100 hectares in it. I don't know quite how that works out. 10 by 10. 100 hectares is 100 metres by 100 metres. And then you've got, then therefore 100 hectares equals a square kilometre. We're just counting it out. So 24 hectares, it's not very, very much. It's like, not, it's more than a football field, but yeah, not much more. I was just trying to think. It's the size of So if you've got a farm which is a kilometre by kilometre by kilometre, depending where it is, like if it's in the sort of the rainy region of Victoria, it's okay, but sort of out the wheat belt and that type of stuff, that's a hobby farm, or a farm where pensioners go and buy it thinking they'll have a new life and it's been in a rain shadow, never had rain for a long time. Okay, right, so its nearest neighbours are Flint Islands, 158 kilometres southeast, Caroline Atoll, 230 kilometres to the east, Piran, 162 kilometres to the west, and it is 1.3 kilometres in length and triangular shaped. So that's basically what it's Atlantic. It's 1.3 kilometres in length. The beaches on the island range between 25 and 30 metres wide, composed of coral, sand and rubble. There are no lagoons or fresh water on the island, and no known fresh water lens. That is, what happens is that it can rain and store on the top. Voskot's major portion is covered with a pure strand of Pisonia trees, rooted in the moist peat soil, 1 meter thick. The trees, with heights of up to 24 meters, grow so densely that no other plants can grow beneath them. The herb Beravia reopens, and Cephasum product asum around the no. Round out the known vegetation. So it's just a pure strand of Pisonia tree, 24 metres tall. These are massive Pisonia trees. They're 3 stories tall. Coconut seedlings were planted on Voskot in 1922 and failed. The nearby islands of Caroline and Flint, there are existing coconut palms. Now, so that the coconut palms don't get a hold there. It's one of those things, if you look on Google Earth to the Cocos Islands, this is in the Indian Ocean, and various things, if you look down, it's just wall-to-wall US Air Force Base, I suppose, Australian-run US Air Force Base with palm plantations. It's pretty awful. Okay. Noteworthy fauna includes several species of seabird, including the red-footed booby, the great frigate bird, the lesser frigate bird, the black noddy, white tern, masked booby, the brown noddy, the Polynesian rat, and the azure-tailed skink, together with coconut crabs and green turtles, complete the known land flora. So there you go. Now the history of it, we're going to read it to you. The island was first sighted in 1820 by Russian explorer Franz Gottlob von Bergen, who named it for the ship Voskhod. Voskhod was claimed by the United States under the Guano Act of 1856. So this is someone saying, so a Guano Act, a bird shit act. But it was never mined for phosphate. It is unknown whether the island has ever been inhabited, although the presence of rats suggests ancient Polynesians may have at least visited. No evidence of permanent settlement has ever been found. Voskhod formed part of the British Gilbert Ellice Island colony until becoming part of the newly independent Kiribati in 1979. American claims on the islands were vacated in the Treaty of Tarawa that same year. Voskhod is designated as Vostok Island Wildlife Sanctuary. In 2014, Kiribati government announced to establish 12 nautical mile fishing exclusion zone around each of the southern Line Island, Caroline, common called Millennium, Flint, Voskhod, Maldon, and Starbuck. The isolated mention means it's rarely visited, save for the occasional scientist or yachter. Could be a scientist who is also a yachter. Passengers aboard the Golden Princess see it on the ship's route to French Polynesia to Hawaii. Landing is said to be difficult, and no harbour or anchorage exists. So there you go. You can imagine it there. So that's 15 minutes on Pisonia and the island of bird-eating trees. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.